Matthew 22. And the Lord Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables. What is a parable? Well, a parable is an earthly story which illustrates a spiritual truth. A parable is a story about things here which illustrates things there, spiritual truth. And parables are not perfect. Don't expect them to be. Parables cannot, no story, no illustration can perfectly portray divine mysteries. A parable is a parable. An illustration is an illustration at most. They only help us to understand what the Holy Spirit has to reveal. So this is a parable, nothing more. But our Lord is so good and gracious to teach us the mysteries of His kingdom in parables and stories. It could be otherwise. He who speaks and worlds appear, who says, "Let there be light," and there was light, has to condescend to talk in our language. He who thunders and mountains tremble and the earth quakes, he who is all wisdom and all holiness and all majesty certainly does condescend to come down and take us to himself as little children, and that's what we are, and show us the things of Christ and the things to come. Oh, that we might be willing to listen. Oh, that we might be not only among those who are called, but those who are chosen. My sheep hear my voice. The chosen hear. I pray constantly for the spirit of Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and learned of Him. Scripture says, "And Mary sat at the feet of Christ and heard His word. And Martha, her sister, came in and said, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left all of the preparation and the work to me? Bid her come and help me.'" And the Lord looked at Mary sitting there at His feet, hearing His word. And then He looked up at Martha. And He said, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that one thing, to sit at my feet and hear my word. And Martha, it'll never be taken away from her. All of this that you're so involved in is marked for destruction. But this will never be taken away from her." Oh, for ears to hear, a heart to believe what He says. Well, let's look at it. "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and He said, 'The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son.'" A certain king wanted to honor his son. He had one son. And that son was precious to him. And the son was about to take a bride. It's the greatest event in the kingdom. The greatest event to this king, to this son, and everybody should have been, and the king wanted everybody to rejoice in the son's marriage and honor the son. Well, the kingdom we're talking about here that our Lord is illustrating is the kingdom of heaven. And God is that certain king. And the scriptures are quite clear on this subject, the grand and glorious purpose of God. The grand design of Almighty God in all things, without a doubt, is to honor the Son. Do you doubt that? I don't for a moment. Let me show you that in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. The great purpose, design, and will of the Father is to honor the Son, that in all things Christ might have the preeminence. John 5, verse 20. Now listen to this. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he'll show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man. He hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent him. Jonathan Edwards, in his great book, The History of Redemption, sets forth several grand designs in the history of redemption, in the purpose of God. Number one, God will one day destroy forever. God will one day put an end to everything contrary to himself. Everything. Material, physical, imaginative, thoughts, anything contrary to perfect holiness. That's what he said. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. That'll be the last one, but then they'll all be gone. Second, God will restore to perfection everything that was affected and ruined by Adam's fall. Everything. In creation, in people, in things, everything. Nevertheless, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. For the old heavens and the old earth shall melt with a fervent heat and be put away. And God will restore everything to perfection that was lost in the fall. Thirdly, and Almighty God will populate that new heaven and that new earth with a people. A people with eternal life. A people perfectly conformed to the image of His beloved Son. By whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many, many brethren. And whom he predestinated, he called. And whom he called, he justified completely. And whom he justified, he glorified with Christ. And they partake of the glory which God Almighty gave to his Son. For he said, the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be with me where I am. Fourthly, but the great purpose in all of this is to honor the Son, by whom all of this was accomplished. You know this scripture, Philippians 2. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the likeness of sinful flesh. He was made in the flesh and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that is the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, earth, and under the earth, and every tongue in heaven, earth, and under the earth shall declare that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's the song of heaven, if you turn to Revelation chapter 5.
They honor God's great desire is to honor the Son.
Look at Revelation 5, verse 13. In Revelation 5, 13, and every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say thee, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever. That's God's grand design. That's what Christ is saying here. Made a marriage. Honor the Son. Now listen to me a moment. This is so important. This is the very heart of this thing right here. Christ is already glorified in his person. He said, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. How can we add anything to that? Christ Jesus is glorified in heaven and in earth. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth showeth his handiwork. Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. What's this all about? The King, the Father, made a marriage to honor the Son, to glorify the Son. And I don't know exactly how to say this, because it's too big for me. But in all the manifestation of the Lord's power, and the Lord's might, and the Lord's majesty, and the Lord's wisdom and sovereignty, there's a certain and prominent glory that's missing. And you know what that is? That's the heart of God. It's the glory of his love, his grace, and his mercy. And that occurred to Moses. And Moses prayed, Lord, show me your glory. Moses, more than any man I've read about, saw about as much power, might, majesty, wisdom, and sovereignty as a man could see and survive. And said, show me your glory. And the Lord said, Moses, I'll cause all my goodness to pass before thee. I will be gracious. I will be gracious unto whom I'll be gracious. And I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. How shall God manifest this love and mercy and grace? Only through the obedience and death and compassion and mercy and love of the Son for sinners. He'll make a marriage for his Son. Turn with me to Revelation 19, and John describes it. It's coming up. It's being made. It's being prepared. It's being accomplished since God made the worlds. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 6. You've got it? We've got to have this together. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb of God is come. Lamb sacrifice, Lamb suffering, Lamb death, Lamb bloodshed for sinners. The marriage of the Lamb is coming. And his wife, his bride, has made herself ready for that feast and that marriage. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Wasn't that way before, was it? For the fine linen is the righteousness of Christ.
That's the saints, preacher. Well, they don't have any of their own. It's got to be here.
And he saith to me, right, blessed, happy, holy, twice blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith to me, these are the true sayings of God. This is the purpose of God. This is the grand and glorious will of God to reveal His grace and His love and His mercy in Christ Jesus. I will be merciful unto whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I read a long time ago about how these old ancient bloodthirsty kings who wished to honor their sons, the prince. One was that they would send their armies forth to kill and to conquer some small nation so the prince could have his own kingdom and reign over unwilling subjects. Or the king would impose heavy taxes on people to furnish the young prince with riches and renown. But our God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us to honor His Son, asks no dowry, seeks no gifts, requires no taxes, requires no labor or sacrifice, requires nothing earthly to be presented. He only requires what the Son provided. Turn to Luke. I want you to turn to Luke 14. Luke tells this story a little differently from the way Matthew records it. In Luke chapter 14, he talks about this man that made the feast for his son, the marriage feast. In Luke 14, verse 16, then said he unto them, this is the Lord speaking, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent, he made the supper now, this man did. And he sent his servants to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. You don't bring anything. You don't provide anything. You just come, for all things are ready. I made the supper. It's my supper. It's to honor my son. But you don't bring anything. Then look at Romans chapter 14. Talks about this kingdom. Romans 14, this marriage. This kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says in Romans 14. Verse 17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is righteousness in Christ. It pleased God that in Him should all fullness dwell. And you're complete in Him. It's peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. You see, go back to my text again. Go back to my text. This is a spiritual kingdom. This is provided by the Lord of hosts. Let's read it again. Matthew 22, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying to them which are bidden, I have prepared my dinner. Who prepared it? I prepared it. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place, I'll come for you. It doesn't require you to do anything, to present anything. I prepared my dinner. What else? My oxen and fatlings are killed. My sacrifices are made. My lamb has died. The bread and the wine is prepared by the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. He says, summing it all up, all things are ready. All things are ready. The Father has committed to the Son all things. All things. They're ready.
all things. And you just come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come to me. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Paul said God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses to us, but to Christ. So therefore be ye reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Lay down your shotgun. Surrender. I prepared my feast. My fat ones have been killed. Sacrifice is ready. Everything you need to rejoice and celebrate the honor of Christ has been provided. Well, he sent out a call. He said, many are called, few are chosen. He sent out a call. It takes three directions. Look at the first one. Verse 3. He sent his son. He sent his servants to call them. The king sent his servants that were bidden to the wedding. And they wouldn't come. They wouldn't come. Now keep in mind, this is to honor the son. The king has one son, he's going to honor that son. The Lord God has one son, he's going to honor that son. And they wouldn't come. They wouldn't come. They wouldn't honor the son. He said, I come in my Father's name, you receive me not. Search the scriptures, you think in them you have life. There they which testify of me, and you won't come to me. They would not come. Now that's verse 4. Verse 5, rather. Here's another call. And they made light of it. They heard about this marriage feast to honor the son, and it, to them it was foolishness. The preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. It's nonsense. They made light of it. You heard about the feast? Yeah, but I'm not going. I don't believe in all that. They lied of it. What else did they do? They went their way. We turned everyone to his own way. We're too busy. Oh, I might give it some consideration when I get too old to do anything else, but not now. One went to his farm, another went to his merchandise. But that's not all. Verse 6 says some of these people got ugly with his servants, ugly with his messengers. And they treated him spitefully. They couldn't get to the king, so they kind of worked over the fellows he sent. And they slew some of them. Well, the king heard about that in verse 7, and he was angry. I think about Jerusalem. Think about that great religious city where Christ ministered, where his gospel was preached. And they took him, his disciples and him, and they slew him. He put him on the cross and martyred all the disciples. And in the year 70 A.D., the Roman general Titus came into that city and burned it to the ground. Destroyed them all. That's right. He sent forth his armies to destroy those murderers and burned up their city. Burned it up. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. He came to his own received him not. But, look at verse 8. Then said he to the serpents, the wedding is ready. Now all these calls had gone forth, and these people didn't consider it a worthy occupation to get together and honor my son and glorify his wonderful name. So you go out in the highways, and turn to Luke 14 again now. Luke laid this out a little more clearly on this point here. Luke chapter 14, verse 21. Verse 20 said, they made all these excuses. Verse 19 says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, I can't come, have an excuse. Another said, I married a wife and I can't come. So the servant came and showed the Lord, the king, these things. Luke 14:21. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out into the streets and lanes of the city and find the poor. They're hungry
They'll come. They'll honor the Son. Christ said, I came to preach the gospel to the poor. Poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can find the poor and find the lame, crippled, sin sick, weary, halt, the lame, the blind. Go out and find them and tell them to come. Let's honor the Son. And they'll come. They need the Son. They need Him. They're hungry. They're needy. They're lame. They're halt. They're blind. They're deaf. They have a need. You go invite them, and they'll come. And so they went out. Verse 10 in Matthew 22. They went out. Those servants went out in the highways and gathered them together as many as they found, the bad and the good. What's the good here? That's religious people. Like, bad and good. That's the Lord finds His sheep out there in the places of the world. He finds them that are weary and hungry in the church to religious folks that tried all these different professions and didn't accomplish me, and they still lame and halt and blind. So the wedding was furnished with guests. People that were so glad God invited them. They're so glad they hadn't had a good meal in their whole lives. They've been lame and halt and blind and crippled and without God and without hope and without Christ in this world, and the Lord single them out and call them, and they just came up running. Willingly, lovingly, hopefully, came to Him. I'll honor the Son. I'll honor the Son. Won't you? He has the words of eternal life. We believe and assure He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, look at this verse now. Verse 11. And the king came in to see the guests. And you know what? He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. You know, I read a while ago that scripture over there in Revelation where it said the bride had made herself ready. Let's go over there and look at that in Revelation 19. She didn't do it, but she took what He gave. She didn't provide her righteousness, but He did. And she was glad to wear it because that filthy dress she had, she had it too long to wear to a wedding. It wouldn't be accepted. She's glad to throw it off. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife made herself ready. What did she do? She laid aside her filthy rags, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean. And that fine linen is the righteousness of Christ. Over there in Revelation 7, the elders said, who are these that are arrayed in white linen? Who are these? And he said, you know. He said, I do. These are they that came out of great tribulation and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Made herself ready. But and then in Ezekiel he said this, you are exceedingly beautiful, the bride of the Son. And your renown went forth for your beauty. For your beauty was perfect through my comeliness which I put on you, saith the Lord. You came to the feast, robed in His robe, white and clean. And the king looked at this fellow and he said, I said a while ago, he said, how came you? And I read an article, a fellow said, well, he was a thief and a robber. He slipped in the wrong way. That's not what he's asking. He's asking you, why are you here? Why are you here? Why'd you come here without the proper covering, without the proper robe, without the wedding garment? This marriage, this grand affair, is to honor the Son who made all things in our redemption. Why did you come here not wishing to honor the Son? This is to honor the Son. Why would you be here without His righteousness?
Secondly, all here have their robe of holiness washed in His blood, His righteousness performed by His obedience. Do you prefer your robe to His? Have you come here with your robe on, and you prefer that to His? Why? And everybody here is rejoicing in His sacrifice, in His work, and His redemptive, and they're all singing the same song, unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Don't you know that song? Can you sing that song? You can't? Then why are you here? Why are you here?
For the first time in his life, he was speechless.
All religionists have a lot to say about what they did. If you'll give them 5 minutes, they'll take an hour and tell you all about the experience and the deeds and duties. But this time he had nothing to say. Because everybody here is here to honor the Son. Don't you want to honor him? Everybody here is robed in his precious garment. You prefer yours? Everybody here is singing one song, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You don't know that song. Then why are you here? Well, just bind him hand and foot and cast him out. Because, he said, many are called. You saw these calls, didn't you? These calls all the way. Conscience, preaching, providence, works. This thing wasn't done in a corner. But they refused. They flat out refused. They would not come. They went their own way. They had too busy, too much work to do. And they laughed at it, made jokes about it, ridiculed it. And he's angry. But he's not angry with the weary. He said, you go tell these folks, they'll come. They'll come. And they did. Because they were chosen. All right. May God bless that rejoicing. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Number 42. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem. That's crowning, Lord of all.